have a question for Lou?
Well, I've got a problem from that cold snap we had. My heater went out.
Now's the time to call.
I have a 20-year-old granite countertop, and I was just wondering how I would deal
with it. Lou Manfredini's taking your calls live right here.
And that laminate floor is going to shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
And right now on House Smarts Radio.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation.
One of my favorite lines.
I'm holding up the bloodstain.
This floor, you'll stay up until Lord, this floor shines like the top of the Chrysler Building. Good morning, everybody.
I'm working on a building.
House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini.
I'm going up to heaven, oh Lord, to get my reward.
10 minutes past the hour. This I'm hour of House Smarts Radio, sponsored by Ace
it's
Hardware.
A true foundation.
And by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Banner for my Lord.
Morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. How's your week been, Lou?
It's been a good week.
Yeah? Why?
Good week. Morning, Joe. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Lou.
Oh, sorry. I got to lower my song. The music's really...
You're really jamming over there.
I know.
There.
It's a bump in bed.
Right? Who? I mean, come on. Oak Ridge Boys. When's the last time you thought about the Oak Ridge Boys? Are they still around?
I think so.
Yeah?
I don't know.
That was good. That was very good.
They are today.
Lindsay sends me... What's that?
They are today. They're still around today.
They are today through the magic of music, right? It's all good. So, Lindsay sends me these, you know, rejoins and stuff on a Friday night, and I'm always super happy to get them, and then I'm cranking the Oak Ridge Boys, and then, of course, I go down the rabbit hole on Spotify to hear more Oak Ridge Boys songs.
Yeah.
With that guy that has the really low voice, which is really, I like that. Yeah, maybe you need headphones to hear it, or you need to be, you know, have a high,
right.
You know, stereo to do that. So, how are you boys this morning? Everybody good?
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, doing well.
What? Mm-hmm. And I know I've talked to Lindsay a lot about this off the air, but you know, obviously, Thanksgiving's coming up, and I'm sure we all have reduced plans like we do, just having with our family. But we all got to be smart, right? It's just crazy.
Oh yeah, it's tough. A lot of video conferencing, I think.
Yeah,
yeah. I enjoyed that story that Don said about the Zoom price being lifted, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was pertinent. You know, especially this week.
So smart that they're doing that now. But here's the other thing that, and I don't do a ton of Zoom meetings, but I mean, there's all these other platforms too, right? That are non-Zoom.
Yeah, Microsoft Teams is another one that's comparable, kind of the same service.
Google Hangouts,
right? Mm-hmm.
We're doing Google Hangouts works pretty well, right? And that's all. Anyway, that's good. I mean, the more we can try and connect with people, I want to let you know that just because Thanksgiving is, going to be a lot different for us. In case anybody was worried, I am still doing my Marconi Giardiniera deep fried turkey.
Nice.
Oh, good.
And so that's great. I said to Mary Beth yesterday, I go, I got to get my giardiniera ready. She's like, what are you talking about? It's Thanksgiving's like a week away. I go, no, I got to get it all ready. So I took, this is what I've learned. Are you a giardiniera fan, gentlemen?
Very. Yes. Very.
I'll put it on Triscuits, just giardiniera.
Oh, my gosh, that's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is the trick. This is what I do, because I've learned this, because I've made this mistake. I take the jar of hot giardiniera, and I put it into a small pot, and I start to boil it, and then simmer it for about a half an hour. Stay with me. So it gets everything nice and soft. Then I throw it in the blender, and I puree it.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay, so now it's like yesterday, when I poured it into my mason jar that I'm waiting for when I, inject my turkey, it looked like baby food. Like, you wanted to just take a spoon of it, which would be like, zoinks, if you did it. But, so then, now it's ready. So when I put it in the injector, because I'm going to inject the bird, it's got to be super smooth or you clog the syringe.
Right.
Just throwing that out there.
It's got to be
talking a lot about vaccines and syringes.
Right.
I'll be vaccinating my turkey.
Yeah, right. Like a giardiniera IV for your turkey.
I love
wow.
it. Hey, I'll take one of those anytime.
Exactly. And it does not have to be super cold. So anyway, just if you're going to try it, here's the thing. We're going to have these small family get-togethers, right? Try something new. Go to the hardware store and buy one of these turkey fry kits. Do it in your front yard. They're not expensive. Why not?
Yeah, so right? Like almost like a little bit less pressure this way. You could, experiment a little bit this year.
Right, because you're not worrying about feeding 25 people.
Yeah, exactly.
But Don, he's so smart.
turkey sandwiches at the Kleppen House.
Oh, yeah. For weeks. For weeks.
I love it. I love it. Well, nice to have you boys with us this morning, Lindsay. And
I need all the tips I can get because I'm making my first Thanksgiving dinner ever.
Whoa.
Oh.
Because I've never,
Right.
I don't want to sound, but it's like usually done for me because we're usually going to my in-laws' house or even to my parents who have always been traditionally the one that makes the main courses. Yeah,
why don't you do what I just said? Have your husband do the turkey.
That sounds too spicy for me.
No. But you don't even have to.
I don't even eat turkey.
No, I know, but that's my point. You don't need to eat the. In other words, he doesn't have to do the spicy. Okay. Oh. You can just do a regular turkey. It's delicious, deep fried.
That's what we're planning on doing. I have all the peanut oil. I just don't know what the heck to do with any of it.
Oh, it's so simple. It's 45 minutes in the thing. We'll talk about it.
I know.
Anyway.
Can't wait.
All right. 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. By the way, our first call this morning, sponsored by bathfitter.com/Lou. That first caller this morning is Sue, who's in Arlington Heights. Hi, Sue. You're on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quartz countertop. It's a few years old, and you wouldn't notice it normally, but there's a tiny little lip around the kitchen sink, and over time, where I'm reaching for the faucet all the time, it's developed like some, crud along that edge, like soap scum, which I can't get out. I've tried soft soap, which is what I clean the counter with when I have a stain, and I tried a magic eraser, which seemed to be scratching it. It's white countertop, so I stopped. Any suggestions?
So you've cleaned it with everything. Are you in the kitchen now?
I'm not, but I could be.
Okay, go to that area for me.
Okay.
When you're there, do you have, how close are you to a bottle of olive oil?
Oh, very close.
Okay. Grab a little olive oil, and how about a paper towel? This is a test.
Yep, right
this is a test, and then we're going to...
I feel like I'm on a scavenger hunt.
Right. Okay, lift up one leg. No, now, take a little olive oil on the end of the... Put the paper towel on the end of the olive oil and tip it over.
Got it.
All right, now go and wipe that area just gently where the scummy is. We're trying something.
Okay.
Any difference?
No, I'm not seeing.
Give it a second.
No, it doesn't. Okay.
So it's a white countertop, and the what you see is what? Like a can you feel it with
like
your...
yellow, like yellow,
like a discoloration? Can you feel it with your like your fingernail?
Yeah, and in fact, I've tried like scraping it, with like a little, like a scraper you'd use for like patching a hole in a wall, whatever that's called.
Okay, that's good. That was, okay, but, and tell me again, what is the countertop made of?
It's quartz countertop, and it's like a marble look, so it's white with veining.
Okay.
And this gunk on here is, and it's definitely not like a stain because I have gotten some of it off. It's gotten better, but I just have not been 100% successful.
Okay, so shaping this whole conversation. So wipe away when we're done. Do you have any soft scrub? Okay. You have any soft scrub in the house? Not soft scrub. Excuse me.
Yeah, I've tried.
No, not soft scrub. I'm sorry. Scrubbing bubbles.
Oh, I do not know.
Okay.
I could get some.
Get a thing of scrubbing bubbles, and this is why I bring this up. So we too have a quartz countertop that's white, and I have been known to, on a Friday night, make a Manhattan or two, and so what happens is when I go to put my my bitters on there, every now and then a little bitter squirts out of the shaker, and I forget about it. And the next morning, I see a little bitters, which is kind of orangey, on the top of it. And I couldn't wipe it up. I'm like, well, that's weird. Quartz is not, porous. Shouldn't happen. And I like
that. Happened to be the first day I had this. I spilled some red wine on a Friday evening, and I almost had a heart attack.
Right. Well, so it's super forgiving. But this is the trick that I learned. Spray the scrubbing bubbles on there. Make a nice little lather.
Okay.
Let it sit there for 10 minutes. and then use a little plastic scrubbing, you know, like a plastic scrubbing pad, like a chore boy, a plastic chore boy. So when you go by the scrubbing bubbles, go in the same cleaning aisle, there'll be something called a chore boy that you can use.
Okay.
And then that'll work.
All right. Thank you very much. I love your show. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. What can I help you with? You're building, you're renovating. We've got some open phone lines this morning. Say hi to Lindsay when you call. Oh, coming up a little bit later on. I'm excited about this. We're going to talk to the Whiskey Acres people later on, talk about their local distillery and everything that they do. They were so kind to sponsor our holiday drinks, which were, well, they're a big hit in my house, that's for sure. You know, when you're quarantining, you want to always, you know, try new things. Right?
Well played.
Well played. It's 7:20 in the morning. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. WGN 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is Jeanette, who's in Buffalo Grove. Hi, Jeanette.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How may I help you?
Okay, I have a countertop oven that I melted plastic on the top of it. It was the plastic that covered the pizza round or whatever that thing is, the little tray. And I've tried everything to get that off. I had that Superzilla.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to tell you that one.
Take it off.
Wait, countertop. You mean it's a countertop stove?
Yeah, it's that little Breville countertop oven. You know, it's got a...
Like a toaster oven. Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so the plastic...
So I had the trays on top of it. And this one, this pizza, it's just a pizza pan, I guess.
Oh, I see.
It had plastic on it, and I didn't take it off. So, of course, after I've used it, and then finally was taking it off, there's all this melted plastic on the top of the oven.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying. Okay, so it's not a countertop. So the top of this, like, toaster oven is made of metal.
Yes.
Okay, and so now you've got, like, a hard plastic, it almost looks like it's coated on top of it.
Yeah, it's the pieces of plastic. I mean, it's just, I could live with it, but I didn't really want to.
All right, here's what I want you to do. The area where the plastic is it relatively flat?
Yes.
I want you to take a paper bag and rip the paper bag so you just have one piece of the brown paper bag. You got a paper bag laying around from the Jewel or something?
Then sure.
I want you to take an iron... On warm, a warm iron, put the paper bag over the plastic, put the warm iron on top of the paper, and I want you to iron the top of it to get it nice and warm. And then, as you warm up that plastic, you got like a plastic spatula, like a stiff plastic spatula?
Sure.
Then you're going to use that to pop it off.
Okay, that sounds. I'll try that.
Remember the old? Do you remember the old Tide commercial where they would go in and they would say they probably can't do this anymore, but they would say, you know, oh my gosh, the clothing here when I get it clean is so clean, and the people behind there would be like, yep, ancient Chinese secret, and they were using Tide. So this is going to be your ancient Chinese secret. Right? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Call me back when it works. And if it doesn't work, are you supposed to call me back? No.
I can, yes.
No, I don't want you to call. If it doesn't work, don't call me back. We don't want to hear that. Thank you, Jeanette. I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-2134-LOU. This is Liz in Northwest Indiana. Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Lou. Okay, so I have a Brone above the stove exhaust fan hood.
Okay.
It is not vented. It is not vented to the roof. I was wondering
where is it? Where is it vented?
I just have the exhaust hood installed above the stove. It has the two filters.
So it just pumps the air back into the kitchen.
Correct.
Okay.
Is there something that I can buy to suck that smoke? That's like next to the stove on the countertop, something portable? I have my windows open.
Hold on a second. Are you in a house, a condo? Where do you live?
I am in a house.
Where this exhaust hood is, there's a cabinet up above it?
Yes.
And does that cabinet go all the way to the ceiling?
It does.
All right. And if I was looking in that ceiling, what would I be looking at? Is that your attic space?
It is.
Okay. So, that microwave or that hood that you have, well, let me think about this. If it's a, okay, so it's a Brone hood with a little vent there, what you should probably do is replace that hood and have someone vent it. And vent it up and out.
Well, yeah, I know. I've investigated all of that. I was just trying to bypass that with something.
There's nothing.
Easy.
That's
what I thought.
There's nothing that I'm going to recommend to you that that's gonna work. I mean, if you're someone that cooks a lot in your home, think about having this installed the right way. And that way, honestly, that's one of the things when I go into a place and there's a vent that just pumps it back in. This has been done for years. But, I mean, it grabs a filter, grabs a little bit. But whatever, you're cooking whatever, something smoky, and it does filter it, but it goes through the rest of your house, which is, kind of crazy. So if you can afford it and the budget allows it, I would do that. Oh, by the way, Jeanette from Buffalo Grove, I forgot to mention this. We gave her a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Working remotely and don't have enough room? Well, let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com or call 773-661-0606.
You are listening to your big brother in the business. That's right, Lou Manfredini. And he's taking your calls live right here on House Smarts Radio.
Nothing wrong with a hard hat and a hammer. Kind of blue and sticks this world together.
Welcome back.
Steel and cradle of the promised land.
Here it comes.
God bless the working man.
877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568 is our phone number. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. This is Henry in Chicago. Henry, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Lou, I've got the $64,000 question. The outside hose, when I take it off, what am I supposed to do? Turn the water on, off, go in the house? What do I do?
Is it a frost-proof spigot?
No, sir.
Yeah, so if you're going to...
But you recommend those.
Well, I mean, you have to have that installed by a plumber. Yes, I do. But if you have a valve on the inside to shut that water off, then in a perfect world, take the hose off, turn the valve off on the inside... Open that valve. Hopefully, some water drips out of there, and then you can go ahead and close it.
So, I'm sorry. Take the hose off first, correct?
Take the hose off first, correct, and then turn the valve
off.
You can turn the valve off on the inside first, and then take the hose off. Open up the valve, drain the water out, and just let it drip out of there. And then once the water stops flowing, you can just close the valve, no problem. Thanks. 877-213. It's the two that I look at that really gets me going. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Steve in Huntley. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Gosh, it's always a thrill to talk to you. I heard Orion Samuelson mention this morning that you were going to fill in on his show coming up, starting the new year.
No, I think you. So there's going to be a little bit of a realignment after the first of the year. Part of that is with Orion retiring. Mike Steven, who hosts Outside the Loop, which has been on from 6 to 7 prior to me here in Chicago. He's actually going to get up 1 hour earlier because he can't sleep. He's got two little boys. And so Outside the Loop is going to be heard in, during when you would hear the farm show. And then my show is going to begin at 6 a.m. So House Smarts Radio is going to be from 6 to 10 starting after the first of the year.
Gosh, that's a long haul, Lou. Thanks for doing that. You do really good with it.
Wow, thank you.
If I can make a request.
Sure.
Could you throw in a couple, for Orion's, thing that he does, throw in a couple of farm stories because, as great as this state is and all the good things we have, we're still a farming state. Oh, our economy's really tied into it.
100%. I mean, I think that that is a great suggestion, and I do not anticipate that WGN, who has always been definitely a friend of the farmers, and that has 100% to do with 100% to do with Orion and Max Armstrong, and all the people that you were involved in the ag business. And while that has moved and changed a little bit, WGN I don't think is going to turn its back on the ag community, because that is an important community for us and certainly part of what has built and made WGN great. So yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, we should do that, and maybe there will be, we'll have 4 hours, maybe there will be a chance to do a home on the farm or something. We could do something like that that could be a fun segment. Yeah, I'll think about that. I like that idea. And certainly would be willing to do something around that topic. Thanks so much for the phone call, Henry. I really do appreciate it. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Bud, who's calling in from Fox River Grove. Good morning, Bud.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I have some vertical channel cedar of various ages. I put it up over time. The sun and, physical factors have affected it, and it needs to be restained. When I first stained it, I used some woodsman stain from my local Ace.
Yeah, that's good
stuff.
It
worked really well. I got different batches of the cedar. Like I said, I did it over time. In 95, which was the last time we put up the cedar, I tore the roof off my house and, put the cedar up. I'm to the point of needing to restain it, and I'm wondering what the procedure is to go ahead and do that.
Okay, so your point is that, so you're going to restain the whole place?
Yes.
Okay, and if you were going to describe sort of the tone of the color you have now, on the darker side, on the lighter side?
It's definitely toward the darker side. It's a light brown, sort of, with a little red mixed in there.
Okay.
I think it's actually called cedar. The stain is called cedar.
Okay, and you know for a fact, because you did this, that this is some type of oil-based semi-transparent stain.
Oh, yeah, I did it all.
Okay, so you got a couple ways to go here. If it were me, and this is your spring project?
Yes.
Okay, if it were me, this is what I would do. I would buy a couple of bottles of Wet and Forget Extreme Reach Hose End. You may need more than a couple bottles, but is this a single story or two story house?
It's now a two story.
Okay, I would spray down the exterior of the siding, top to bottom, with this cleaner. Okay, so let's do a timeline here. This is middle of March. You're going to spray this thing down. And you're going to spray it down. Normally, you wet it and forget it, and that's it. But since we're going to stain this, you're going to spray it down in the middle of March. And about 10 days later, you're going to come back at it with a hose, with water, and you're going to rinse it all down.
Okay.
And we're going to let that dry. And if there's any kind of repair or any kind of little bit of scraping you have to do, you'll handle that as well. But then you're going to use a semi-transparent oil-based stain. I'm a huge fan of Penifin, which is a really good rosewood oil-based stain that I think you'll probably get the best performance out of, but you could certainly use a Cabot product. The flood makes a really good exterior stain, and in particular because this is a vertical surface, it's a little bit more forgiving, you know, as far as the quality of the product. But if, you know, if it was like, hey, Lou, I want you to come help me stain this. I'm very busy on Saturdays, by the way. You know, my show's an extra hour now. I don't know that I'm going to have time. I mean, had it been this year, maybe, but I don't know if I'm going to have time in 2021. But anyway, I would definitely consider the Penafin. Clean it, rinse it, make any repairs, put this on. You're going to brush it on, really work it out well. And I think that what I like about the Penafin product or even the Cabot, you're going to get a nice blend of color if you choose the right tone so that it all blends in. Because as you mentioned, you know, you've done this at different times. And so that cedar may accept the stain differently. And don't be surprised if a certain area, like, well, it's not quite as dark as the other one. Maybe you got to hit it one more time, you know, with a couple coats.
Okay. That makes sense.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
You got a lot of, you got a lot of time to plan. Go ahead.
I was going to ask if I could do a twofer.
Sure.
I saw as I was waiting a discussion of ice makers. We have an ice maker in our fridge that's about, no, I don't know, 5 or 6 years old. And when the ice melts in like a glass of water or something like that, we've got little bitty white flecks that are in the water floating around. I think it's called calcium carbonate, but I'm not sure. Our refrigerator filter I change regularly. I took the ice maker out and cleaned it good with, let's see, some... you know, just regular cleaner that you clean it with. Mm-hmm. And I still put it back, and I still have those little white flecks. Where are those coming from?
Are you on city water, well water?
City.
Okay.
In Fox River Grove.
Okay, so let's try this as a test. Do you have an ice cube tray in the house? Like an old...
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Fill that up with water from the tap, put it in the freezer, and see if that's... If that flex is there. If it is there, okay. It could be a water quality issue with the water coming in from the city. In the fact that you tell me you already have a filter on there that's not grabbing this. So let's test that out. And if you see that flex there, then it could just be the calcium content coming from the source, which can be from the city. Typically, you know, depending on where the source is, it could be hard water. And that's what you're seeing there, those deposits. Probably the only way to solve that problem is that you're going to have to do some kind of softener down the line to soften that water to get rid of it if the filter's not doing the trick. Thanks so much for the phone call. It's 47 past the hour. When we come back, we've got a new Tolu 2 that's our new favorite. And when you see the picture that Lindsay posted of me on Facebook, I don't know if it's going to be your new favorite.
You'll
but
want one too.
You'll Maybe not. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Let's go to Schaumburg. Gaetano. What are you looking at?
Gaetano, yes, sir.
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. What's going on?
Love your show. Love the tips. Appreciate it. I wanted to get your opinion on using railroad ties in some residential landscaping.
Okay. You mean like real railroad ties with the old creosote?
You got it. Yes, correct.
I mean, why do you have some?
No, I was thinking of using them as a kind of like a rustic looking deck, putting a few out. I've got some back area on my lot and was going to use that as just lay them down on the ground as a kind of decking. Some pine trees.
What do you mean, like decking? Like you're going to use it to walk on, or you're going to use it as a border?
No, I use them just to lay them out side by side as a rustic decking setup.
All right. I mean, so here's the thing with those old railroad ties. They're not as consistent, you know, from a cut point. Depending, like if you're going to buy new ones or used ones, you know, they're a little wonky.
Choppy.
So
right.
the install would be a little, you know, you'd have to be very careful about, like, and if you were going to put a chair on it, you'd be, you know, rocking back and forth. So it's a cool idea, but in order to get it right, you may need to do, I mean, quite frankly, if I were going to put it in the backyard like that, I would probably lay some type of base, like a perpendicular framework that I could then screw these two so they wouldn't move, like almost create,
gotcha,
almost like a pallet, right, if you can envision a pallet, but you just put those railroad, sure, ties next to each other. But then when you have those areas where you, you know, maybe the ridge is too high or whatever, you may have to cut that down, you know, to kind of shave it to make it smooth, which, you know, can be done. If you're going for that look, absolutely, right, you can do it. It's just a little bit more work that you'd probably have to do to accomplish it. I'm sorry, I forgot all about the Noodaloo 2. How long is the Noodaloo 2? Why are you talking? Why are you not talking? You have a microphone.
Oh, it's about 2 minutes.
All right. So do I have time for that? Let's do the new. What? Come on.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Come on. I said this and I made a mistake. Okay. What? I can't make a mistake?
Nope.
All right. Real quick. This is a Noodaloo 2 that you're going to love if you have to go outside and be warm and toasty. Take a listen.
Bet these days you've never spent more time outside in your life, whether it's 100 degrees and sunny or below freezing. If it means spending time with friends and family at any social gathering possible, you're going to brave it. Unfortunately, though, for most parts of the country, the warmer days are getting fewer and farther between, and the colder days are taking over. So how do you stay warm? Well, over the past month, the House Smarts Radio crew has put multiple outdoor blankets to the test. Some electric, which work, but are kind of a pain if you don't have a power outlet. Some battery-operated, which are hard to come by and expensive for the heat that you actually get. And some just waterproof, which in the long run turned out to be the fan fave. Our Noodaloo 2 this weekend is the Ultimate Sports Wrap, which is so much more than just a blanket. Originally designed by a Wisconsin mother who was trying to find something warmer and drier to watch her son's football games in. She'd be wrapping herself up in these wet fleeces, trying to drink her hot coffee and spilling it all over herself while freezing her buns off. So she got to work. The Ultimate Sports Wrap is a waterproof, windproof, and weatherproof wearable outdoor blanket that helps fight cold and moisture with a hood and unique inside pockets. You can keep this bad boy unzipped and use the hand pockets to just snuggle up and wrap it around yourself, or you can go hands-free, which is the coolest part, because it's got an upper and a lower zipper that'll free your hands up so you can hold your phone or a hot coffee or hot chocolate. And let me tell you, you look really cool. It's foldable, packable, and portable. The outer shell of the rainproof stadium blanket is made of 100% nylon, so it's great for rain, sleet, snow, and wind protection. The inside is 100% polyester, non-pill, soft fleece that'll keep you nice and cozy warm. It measures at 70 inches by 58 inches. It's machine washable and has the reasonable price tag of $59. I love this thing. It comes in a variety of colors. I'm telling you, this would make a great Christmas gift or just a great gift for yourself to keep in the back of your car or to use in your backyard. You can find out more at ultimatesportswrap.com. It's available on Amazon. I'll put some photos and a link right up on Lou's Facebook and Instagram page. Bundle up. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It is the pandemic. It's your outdoor pandemic wrap.
BFF.
Right?
Yes. I just wanted to give this thing ample time. That's why I wanted you to, because I wore this awesome wrap to a room mom backyard get together on Thursday
all
night.
Spread out. You've got your wine going. You're all in your.
And all the moms bought one. Went online and got them as gifts.
So where your hands go out, it's like an upside down kangaroo pouch. So your hands come out of there and you can hold your coffee or your wine.
But
or
you're still wrapped up on the top. Like you don't have to keep,
super
with
warm.
Most, Mike J just texted and said, does it come in camo? It does not come in, there is an army green, but no camo.
Oh, camo would awesome. Be good. Yeah. Right. You could be in a deer stand and wear this thing.
She is from Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's really cool. And she's a small owner of a company, which I'm going to talk about after the top of the hour too, about small businesses. But check it out on Facebook. You can see actually a picture of me in it as well. It fits me as well. We need to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
It's Saturday morning. Right. You're ready to get working.
Here we go.
That's right. You're tuned in to Lou.
Yes, I was just wondering, this Mr. I'll Come Over and Help Scrape, Prime, and Paint Your Wrought Iron Railing?
And How Smart's Radio.
No. That's coming up later on.
He may not be knocking on your door anytime soon. You know, social distancing. But he sure will help you now over these radio airwaves.
What time are you going to be here?
All you have to do is call. Here's your host, Lou Manfredini, and How Smart's Radio.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm.
This hour of How Smart's Radio, sponsored by Permaseal Basement Systems, and by Ace Hardware.
Get gone, get a
877-213-4-LOU.
When you get the blues.
Joe Brand, can I ask you a question?
Sure, and by the way, the Jets helmets are Gotham green.
They're what? Say that again?
The Jets helmets? They're Gotham green.
Right. So I saw a Chevy Equinox that kind of looked like that color. I like the Jets helmets.
I do, too. I like
I think
that whole
cool
color
looking.
Scheme. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're
I think
sleek.
It looks cool. Really cool. normally, I like the matte black or the matte colored helmets, which I think are pretty cool.
I do, too.
Like the Saints, I think. Don't the Saints have that matte color? It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. All right, I have a question. So I'm not quite sure. I'm not a gambler. Like, I have to travel, or I used to, back when we traveled, I used to go to Las Vegas all the time because that's the, the trade show capital of the world. And I can walk through a casino and never put a bet down. It's just not what I do. Now, I know for some people they enjoy doing that. That's up to them. So, you got all these sports betting apps now. And now you just mentioned to me that the Purdue game, the call was so controversial, I did not see the thing, that the betting app changed it. Now, doesn't that sort of set us up for shenanigans?
Well, that's honestly what Don and I were just talking about. Not so much shenanigans or playing a role, but so, I mean, it's no surprise that these gambling apps are making a lot of money, but they're doing a lot of customer-friendly things. They give you a lot of free bets when you make a lot of bets. And I think what they want to do is just build a good customer-company relationship by doing this.
Right.
I just think it's a very slippery slope, because how many times are you going to have people, gathering together and being upset about some type of call in any game, in any sport, and demanding
right.
a refund? And it's like, well, it happened here.
Right.
And it's not going to be the last bad call by an officiating crew. So when is the next even worse call? And what
he was safe by a mile.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, or it was, was it a couple years ago that there was some crazy interference call, speaking of the New Orleans Saints, that they didn't go into the playoffs because of it?
To the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it was.
To the
yeah,
Super Bowl,
they missed
right.
the Super Bowl trip and yeah. that NFC
And it was
game.
Like, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, they totally miss it, whatever. If the gambling apps are then starting to, here's my little, I know nothing about the gambling apps, but here's my 2 cents to all those people running gambling apps. Take the money. Don't get involved in the calls. It is what it is. It's called gambling.
Yeah.
That's a point too. The crazy thing is this game had swayed so much. I don't mean to get too much into it because I don't know all the extent of it. But at the beginning, Minnesota was the favorite, and then they had 20 players that went down with COVID. So all of a sudden, Minnesota became the underdogs, like slight underdogs. And then this crazy play happened. So
right.
then everything just went back and forth and back and forth. But yeah, like you said, it's gambling. You're kind of
taking
gambling. That
into account. And I mean, and the thing is with officials, right? That it's all subjective.
Again,
that's not holding.
I
that's
understand
not eat, right?
why they're doing, but yeah, I can see it being a slippery slope because it's not going to be the last. Bad call
yeah.
by an officiating.
Well, how do you, what's the criteria? How do you point to this one as the worst call of any of them?
Right, right. I mean, right. That is it. So to end this up, because again, I don't know what I'm talking about. But if you're going to gamble, that's the thing. You either win or you lose. And if all of a sudden the gambling apps are deciding, yeah, that was a bad call, we'll give you back your money. Mm-mm. Nope, not going to do it. And for Lauren Lapka, I think Lauren Lapka go to Purdue?
Oh, yeah, she's a big Purdue fan.
Boiler up. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4567. I think that this might be an interesting call because I'm not quite sure. We got to be very quiet because Jim is calling from a deer stand somewhere in central Illinois. Jim?
Wait, hold on. I gotta hang up.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, all right, hold on. Is this Susan?
Hello?
Is this Susan?
It is.
Oh, I thought you were Jim.
It is.
I'm sorry. Hi, how are you?
Oh, no. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about my boiler.
Okay.
I have had the pilot light keeps going out, and I've had three companies come to my house. They changed the thermocouple three times. I've had the gas valve changed. I've had it completely cleaned, and I cannot figure out why it keeps going out, and it's random.
Well, I mean, I don't know. If you've had three different people come out and try and solve this problem, you know, I don't know how I can diagnose this for you on the radio without seeing it. Here's the thing. It's either that thermocoupler. It's either a backdraft on the flue coming back, or there's some issue with the circuitry. How old is this boiler?
It's only 13 years old.
Okay, so that and this is a new problem?
The only variable that has changed is that I had the masonry chimney removed and just a liner put in. And the liner goes all the way up through the roof. After that, the pilot light started going out. It doesn't happen on windy day. I mean, it's random. And nobody can figure it out. And I don't know what to do at this point. I was hoping maybe you could lead me in the right direction.
Okay, let me... Wait. Hold on a second. So you had the masonry chimney removed, and so now you just have a metal, like some type of B vent that goes through the house and then goes out of the top of the roof?
Yeah, it's in the same spot my masonry chimney was, and instead of the masonry, it's just a liner that goes all the way up.
It's a metal flue. And when I'm looking outside, if I'm outside of your house and I'm looking at the chimney, it's now a metal pipe.
It is.
And does it have a cap?
Yes, I put a wind-resistant cap on it, thinking that would help.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, it went out.
Does your furnace, so when I'm looking at the furnace, the boiler rather, mm-hmm. when the chimney portion, you know, the flue comes off of the boiler, what does it do? Go straight up? Does it 90? Does it 45? What does it do before it goes up where you can't see it anymore?
It probably goes at it angles. I don't know what the degree is.
Okay.
It angles and then goes straight up, and it's connected to my water heater.
And it's connected to your water heater.
And it's always, my water heater has always been connected to
it. And the water heater doesn't, that doesn't have a pilot light, or it doesn't go out.
It does have a pilot light. No, I think it has an electronic ignition.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, to the best of your knowledge, you do not have a mechanical damper on that flue that opens and closes.
There is a, when you say mechanical, there is a damper, but
is it wired?
It's not wired.
Okay, so this is my point. There is a device that can be put in line that is connected to the boiler, that when the boiler kicks on, this damper opens up electronically to allow it to, you know, evacuate the burning gas, you know, the fumes. And then when the burner shuts off, it closes. That's for two reasons. One, it's to hold more heat and actually make the boiler more efficient, but it also keeps the wind from coming back down to blow out your pilot light.
Okay.
Where are you in Indiana?
In Highland, Indiana.
How about,
I can't find stuff.
And what kind of boiler is it?
It's a Utica.
So maybe, I think they may come there. Try Dykstra Home Services.
Dykstra? Okay.
Yeah, they're in Crestwood, but I think they may go to Highland.
Oh. Okay.
And Dykstra Home Services, I'll get you, keep listening, I'll get you the number, I'll find the number and give it to you. But they're really good at hydronics, and they have really good technicians, and so they can send somebody there and talk to them about a mechanical flue damper. Here, I have the phone number. You ready?
Yes.
800-421-3220. 800-421-3220. You tell them I told you to call and see if they'll come out and help you out. Mechanical damper.
Flue damper
that opens and closes when the boiler kicks on.
Okay, so I don't have a mechanical one, so you're saying this one would be more efficient?
No. So in other words, it's connected to your boiler, the electronics of your boiler. So when the boiler kicks on, hey, I need some heat. I'm cold. Fire up down there. This thing opens up. So now the burner's going, right? So it's nice and hot, and it's evacuating all the stuff. Everything's good. When that shuts down, and we still, you know, even when the boiler shuts down, hot air is escaping. But then this door closes electronically so that it holds more heat, so you get more residual heat throughout the system because the pump will still be running. I mean, this is a good thing, but the other benefit of it is it can keep your pilot light from going out.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 20 minutes past the hour. It is time now to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Add a dash of rustic farmhouse charm to your kitchen with a beautiful fire clay farmhouse sink that Tom just got in. These deep sinks are perfect for cleaning large pots, love that, or ideal in a laundry room. Add some modern flair and simple practicality. These easy-to-maintain sinks come in both single and double bowl options. Don't spend thousands when you can get these for almost half the cost. Another reason to see what's new at Builder Supply Outlet. Premium products without the premium price.
This is Jim, who's calling from a deer stand in central Illinois. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Are you up inside a deer stand?
Yeah, down by Vermilion Grove, Illinois. Been out here since about 5 o'clock this morning.
Very nice. And how's the weather down there?
Cloudy, chilly, but no rain, so that's good.
Have you seen any deer yet?
Had one doe and a small buck went by, but they were too far for me to shoot at. I could have given it chances are I would have missed.
Right, you're just up in the, you didn't get kicked out of the house to go in the deer stand. You're actually deer hunting.
I'm actually deer hunting. My wife's she got to sleep in today.
Good for her. Well, how can I help you while you're out there in the deer stand? I'm pretty sure in my 25 years of being on the radio, you're the first person that's ever called me from a deer stand.
Well, we listen to you as often as we can. Most of the time it's in the vehicle while we're traveling back and forth between kids' houses. I know you've answered this question before, but I've just been able to, with the leaves all gone and the sun at the right angle, I can see green growing on my roof. Is it too late to use wet and forget?
No, actually, I'm telling you what, today is the day, because I'm going to be doing that on my own roof today after I get off the radio. As long as it's, you know, above freezing, which, you know, we've got some pretty warm weather, you can put that on there for sure. Just be careful around the vegetation. That may be down on the ground, but you spray this on really well. They've got this product you can put on the end of the hose if you haven't put the hose away yet. That'll work perfectly.
Okay. Well, the way this is going to have to work, it's on the second story, so my wife will put me in the bucket of the tractor and lift me up as high as I can go, and then I'll spray it from there.
Just don't let the people from OSHA see what's happening.
Oh, my God. OSHA would just love the way we do things down here in the country.
All right. If you can send me a picture of that when she's in the tractor and you're up there, you know, all probably still dressed in your camo, of you spraying the wet and forget, I'll tell you what, we'll send you out a House Smarts radio hat for that one.
Will do. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. That's a good call. That's the one that I have to remember when people say, what's kind of the craziest call you ever got? Well, this guy down was in a deer stand and called me this morning. 877-2134-LOU. This is Don, who's in Oswego. Don, good morning.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, Lou, my question is this. We have, I don't know what normal sinks are in the kitchen. It's porcelain or whatever. But my wife will clean it, and it's perfectly white. And then within a few days, it gets a little brown thing, a little brown on it. Do you have any idea what a great cleaner for that would be?
Well, you got a little bad phone line there, so hopefully you can still hear me. When you have porcelain like that that gets clean, but then maybe it just doesn't have that shine that it used to, that top coating, that finish coat that's on the porcelain is probably gone. So your alternatives is to either just keep cleaning it, and something like that, I've had really good luck with either using a powdered cleaner called Comet and or Barkeeper's Friend, which is a really good product, and there's another one that my father-in-law loves to use called Cameo, longtime brand, which is very good. That will get it as clean as possible. But if it's a constant struggle, then your choices are either you could refinish that sink using a product like Rust-Oleum makes a sink paint, that porcelain paint that's really good. Then you have to be, it'll give you that nice shiny finish that you want. But then you have to be careful about how you clean it. But the other thing is that you could maybe just replace the sink. You know, at that point, if it's an older sink, it might be worth the investment to think about replacing the sink, to whether you want to go with a porcelain or a new stainless steel sink, whatever it might be. Those will that'd probably be the best bet, because long term, all you're going to be doing is just cleaning it all the time. Yeah, you were mentioning farm sinks. You don't like farm sinks? How come you don't? I know why you don't like a farm sink.
Why?
Well, because you scratch it in the front. The problem with farm sinks, they look great when they're brand new, but the reality of a farm sink, this is just for those of you redoing your kitchen. If you wear a belt buckle or your whatever, or you know, whoever in your house has a buckle and you push up against it, you got to be really careful with farm sinks because you can scratch them. Now, they do make a pad in front, but I like deep sinks, but the farm sinks, it's great look. You just got to be really careful. All right, listen to this. After the break, we're going to talk with our friends over at Whiskey Acres, and they were kind enough to do these fun drinks. It's a local company. This is something I want us all to think about. We need to do more shopping, especially now during this pandemic, at local companies, because they're really struggling right now. And I saw this story in France where Amazon, the French government asked Amazon to push off their Black Friday so that these struggling companies could, you know, get a leg up. And if you're going to, you know, I shop at Costco just like everybody else, and Costco's going to be fine throughout all this. But if you need pies for Thanksgiving and there's a local pie shop in your world, then go buy that pie, or a local butcher to get your turkey. Those types of places really need our support, and it may cost a few extra dollars, but it really makes a huge difference. My wife ordered some coffee from a coffee place in Ann Arbor. My future daughter-in-law sent us this coffee from this little shop in Ann Arbor that was really cute. The coffee was excellent, really good coffee. We ordered 5 pounds of coffee, which, you know, a 5-pound bag of coffee is a big thing of coffee. And they sent a thank you note. Thanks for supporting a small business. We got to do more of that. So if you get a chance and you can do it during this time, support these small businesses because they really need your help. All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I hear you. Sometimes it's tough to keep up with what Lou's talking about.
Okay, but the diatomaceous earth, you can actually use that in gardening.
I want you to buy a product called Concrobium Mold Control.
Concrobium.
But let me tell you, sometimes he has a hard time keeping up with us, too.
You listen to Luford Dandini on Smart Radio.
Come on, Lou, keep up. What he said. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio.
I love the listeners. The thing that I love the most about That is the lady that says concrobium. Like she's enlightened by the whole thing. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. Our phone number is 877-213-4LOU. 877-213-4568. So, you know, with this crazy pandemic, obviously we're all going through all these different things in our lives that, you know, whatever. And so what I've been trying to do with my family and myself, and I hope you're doing the same thing, is always keeping a perspective in all of this and thinking about how good we have it as opposed to other people. About a year ago, we were supposed to be in Ireland, all of us, with Lindsay as well. And we were going to be taking a bunch of listeners on a Ireland trip, a Steve Bertrand travel trip, and we were hoping to do our broadcast from a pub in Ireland. And I hatched the idea. I'm like, hey, we could get the Whiskey Acres people to sponsor the whole thing, and we could bring American whiskey to Ireland, and we could enlighten them to our bourbon and our whiskey and all that kind of stuff. And remember, Lindsay, it was like a thing, like shipping it there. And we're like, all right, we'll just bring the bottles with us.
Right. Yes.
We were.
You put a couple in your bag.
Right.
I'll put them in.
Right.
We're
like, this is for medicinal purposes, right? I mean, we were going to, and because it was a whole thing about shipping it over and licensing or whatever. That didn't happen, which is super sad. But the Whiskey Acres people have been so great and nice, and they have a really interesting story. I wanted to talk a little bit with them this morning. Joining me on the phone line is Nick Nagley, who is with Whiskey Acres. Nick, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me.
We like you so much at Whiskey Acres, we were willing to risk being arrested. I mean, does that say a lot? I mean, think about, we're, you know, people that you work with, and think about that commitment.
Well, just no further comment other than thanks for the support.
We had a lot of fun. Using your products in some of the drinks that we featured during the last month or so. I think I've mentioned this story. So I have a sister-in-law, Ellen, who she and her husband both went to Northern out in DeKalb. She's a teacher. And I'm going to say that Ellen, maybe 2 years ago, it's probably about right, maybe a year and a half ago, she went on a retreat or something with a group of teachers, and they took one of your tours out there that you used to, you know, during normal times you guys could have. And she came back raving about Whiskey Acres. Whiskey Acres were so great, and they had such a good time. And she even brought back a bottle of one of your products that you distill, which is empty now. But she was raving about it. And then lo and behold, you know, you start this relationship slowly with WGN. You've worked a lot with John Williams, and then we're just so appreciative of it. But more so, you certainly seem like a company that's committed to not only making good products, but doing the right thing.
Well, you know, thank you for observing all that, and I'd like to think you agree. You know, we spent a lot of time building, you know, this business from scratch, you know, on a farm, on my business partner's farm out in DeKalb, Illinois, you know, that's been in the family since the 1930s. You know, Jim and Jamie Walter and I are the three co-founders of Whiskey Acres, and you know, doing this was really about how can we create something from scratch to showcase what we grow on the farm, to showcase the high quality corn and wheat and rye that we grow, and turn it into something that we can share with our friends. And so, you know, you mentioned the kind of the before Corona times, and that was, had us completely focused on making whiskey and growing grain. And then Corona hit, and we added hand sanitizer to some of our product offerings, and all the meanwhile, everything we do on the farm and in our facilities is highly sustainable. You know, we reuse our water, you know, the carbon footprint for having grain go from, you know, the field to the distillery, you know, 50 yards away is virtually nothing. And, you know, we're 100% solar powered, you know, so to your point, we do our best to take everything seriously and just be good stewards of the land
And Nick, was that part of the, when the three of you sat down and you're like, hey, I think I want to do this, was that part of the thinking process? Like, let's be, look, when it comes to farming, right, there's no better stewards of the land than farmers, right? I mean, because this is how farmers make their living. So if they don't take care of their land and everything around there, it's going to come back and bite them in the you-know-what. So was that part of the conversation when you said this? Let's do this. Let's be solar-powered. Let's do all that. Because, I mean, that's a big investment initially to do all that.
Well, the best way I can describe it is, let's run the distillery the way the farm is run, you know, efficiently with, you know, clear standard operating procedures and with nothing but quality and safety in mind.
And how long have you guys been in business?
So I think Jamie conceived the idea in around 2011 and floated it my way. And then, of course, I had to float it my wife's way. And she blessed. And we spent the better part of a year putting a business plan together, and we officially incorporated in 2013. Yeah. And then we work with a guy named Dave Pickerel. Dave, if you're familiar with the kind of the whiskey world, Dave used to be the master distiller at Maker's Mark. And he left there to help, I like to say, knuckleheads like us go from aspirational to functional distilling operators. And on December 20th of 2014 was the first day we had any whiskey coming off the still. So we're very quickly approaching 6-year anniversary of production.
Wow. Okay, so I'm just curious about this because I'm a whiskey and bourbon drinker. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't, but when you're distilling a whiskey, how long from the start, and I guess I'm going to ask a technical question, like when you're making your rye whiskey, okay, How much of that do you make in a batch? And from the time your distiller, whomever's running that, says, all right, we're going to make a new batch of rye, how long does it take before it's in a bottle that I can buy at the liquor store?
Okay, so I'll use kind of round numbers for you. Every day, or every batch that we have, we operate off of a 500-gallon batch system, which means we use about 400 gallons of water and 1,000 pounds of grain in a batch. That then distills out to be about 300 bottles, which fills a 153-gallon barrel. And, there's no legal minimum for how long something sits in a barrel until you add the word straight to the product. So if you see something that says straight rye or straight bourbon whiskey, that means it's been in the barrel for at least 2 years. And then, you know, on from that, if you want to have something that's listed as bottled and bond, it has to have been in a barrel for at least 4 years. So there's a lot of other factors that go into the
Wait, hold on a second. So you said you're coming up on your sixth year in business. So
yes,
when you started in the day one, whatever day that was, the thing didn't go in a bottle until 2 years later?
No. So, yes, correct. That's correct.
And you sold your wife on this idea?
I didn't. None of us quit our day jobs, but yet. Yeah. We still had the ability to drink the clear stuff before it went into the barrel.
Oh, I see. To help cope with the
transition.
That just helps you forget, right? Like, what did we do? Yeah. Here, have more of this.
It's the definition of insanity. Yeah, it's absolutely nuts.
But so then it's like growing asparagus, right? Once you get the first... once you first get the first stalks, then you get caught up. But that first couple years is like, boy, I hope this works. Like, boy, I hope this tastes good, right?
I mean, that's the words of wisdom my dad gave me is the better should make sure it tastes good. Well, you know, we're investing in the best best guy in the industry to help us make sure that we're not guessing too much and to really ground truth. The plans we put together, and that's actually something very proud of, is that, you know, when we hit 6 years, we're still using our original recipe from that we did on day one, and that's because we put a lot of work in ahead of time to make sure that what we wanted to do was executable and of quality, and it has been.
You know, what's interesting is that just listening to you and having had conversations with you folks over the years, it's like anything, right? If you use good stuff going in, good stuff's going to come out. And obviously, how you put it all together matters. But the whole sort of stewardship from the beginning to the end, it for me, so I'm going to go by, obviously it's nice to have this inside information, but I just think the stuff tastes great. Like that whole bottle and bond thing, which I never knew what that was, where it's got to sit in the keg for, you know, what you said. It's
four years. Yeah, minimum four years.
So I tried that, and I really enjoyed that flavor, not only as a straight product that's neat in a glass, but I've even used it to make my Manhattans, and it's quite possibly the best Manhattan I've ever had with a whiskey. And my producer Lindsay's husband, who's also a whiskey and bourbon drinker, it's his favorite as well. And he's quite frankly more of a connoisseur of it than I am. And it's just a really, really good product.
Well, you know, thank you. And there's often a misconception that whiskey has to be made in, or bourbon has to be made in Kentucky, and that's very clearly not true. And I think the last time you and I talked, we discovered that,
right.
that Congress declared whiskey or bourbon to be the official spirit of the United States on your birthday in 1964.
Thank you.
So
yes. So I'm just doing it for the sake of, you know, it's like it's good. It's good for me. Right.
but what's important is that you know, on the farm we have out here, we only use about 5% of what we actually grow. So it really does allow us to be selective in what we keep for ourselves. And then, you know, we like to envision that what we consider to be not good enough for us gets shipped to the boys in Kentucky for them to make whiskey with. And, you know, I was listening to you before you and I got on live here, and you were talking about shopping local. And I'd like to, you know, build on that. And, you know, you said it's one of the best Manhattans you've ever had. Well, you know, right here in Illinois, whether it's Whiskey Acres, and obviously, you know, we hope people support our brand, but whatever they're buying, you know, the mentality we'd encourage people to have is buy from somebody that you can meet, buy from a family whose purchase will feel the impact of your, or who will feel the impact of your purchase. And you don't have to buy good whiskey from somebody in Kentucky. You know, there's great whiskey grown and distilled right here,
yeah,
by us and many of our other friends in the distilling world.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're 100% right, and I think that that's so true, and the fact that there are so many local people doing that, and I mean, here you guys, you started this thing out, and I know it's growing, and I know that you know obviously you here we buy local because you know it's made in DeKalb, and that's awesome, and you're getting more distribution, and that all works, but the more we can keep our dollars local to help our communities is just better. It's just so much better, and I'm super happy for you guys. I'm really happy that you you know, had some fun with us the last month with these drinks. Tell people, you got a bunch of different lines. I'm just running out of time here, but you know, where can they go to learn more about your process, what you guys do, and then where they can find the products that you make?
Well, so whiskeyacres.com, and today's kind of a fun day because we're releasing a new product called the Nocino, and it's actually a black walnut liqueur made from walnuts that we picked on the farm and picked at the Morton Arboretum. And we soak that in whiskey along with the black walnuts, Madagascar vanilla beans, cloves, cinnamon sticks, and it's Christmas in a bottle. And that actually is available for sale today at our visitor center from 11 to 3. As well as almost all the Benny's locations in the state, and our friends at the Royal Wren in Geneva, and the beer cellar in Geneva. So really kind of a fun product for today. And then just our standard line is our bottled and bond bourbon that Benny's, when they wrote the review of it, they described it as setting a new standard for craft whiskey. So we're very proud of that and where that's come over the last 6 years. We also have a straight rye whiskey that was 2019
delicious
Whiskey of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And then we have what we call our artisan series that really kind of utilizes the farm. We grow some funky things on the farm and see what we can make out of them. And in mid-December, we're releasing a four-year bourbon at about 97 proof made from blue popcorn. Stuff literally you can put in the microwave and pop it, or you can put it in a mash tun and cook it to turn into whiskey. And so we decided to do that, and I can tell you that this one in particular is just a true step change in the way whiskey can be enjoyed.
Well, one of the first places I'm going to go when we can open things back up again is I am coming out to Whiskey Acres because I want to see this place. I want to tour the place. I'm going to ask lots of questions, so get ready. And I really want to come out there and see the place. Hey, before I let you go, how about this? I've got a $50 gift card to Whiskey Acres. The seventh person to text the word whiskey to 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, text the word whiskey, is going to win that $50 gift card to Whiskey Acres.
Lou, when you come out for your tour, I'm going to have you fix a few things too.
Done. I will have, when I do come out there, I'm going to hire a driver. Nick Nagley is one of the co-founders at Whiskey Acres, a fine company out in DeKalb. They are growing what they distill, and it's really awesome that you guys are doing it. Continued success, continued health to you and your family, and happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you and yours, Lou. Thank you.
You got it. You're listening to House Smarts Radio. My name's Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. Chicago's very own WGN. This is Jerry, who's in Rolling Meadows. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. I had a new... We just moved into this new home, and... everything's really nice about it, but I noticed there were three like elongated cracks in the driveway on three of the squares. So, you know, I've been dealing with houses for a long time, so I thought I'd go out there and fix it. So I went to Home Depot. I bought the one called cement, which I thought was the right color and everything. And I went out there with my trowels and everything, and I fixed it. Well, after two or three days, the color kept staying the same, lighter, and you know, the cement driveway is dark, and every relative in my family is like condemning me to death that I screwed up the whole driveway. When they come over, they look at it and they go, what happened?
Wait, do they come over for dinner or to drink your booze, and they're complaining because they don't invite them over?
You know what? I feel that way every time they pull up.
Yeah, right. You know. Yeah, we're all quick to judge. But who was here helping me fix the driveway? Okay, hold on a
second. Exactly.
How wide were these cracks, Jerry?
The cracks were like a quarter to a half inch, and I used Home Depot, you know, cement sealer caulk for the driveway.
Right, but so did you? Wait. Hold on a second. Did you caulk it in the crack, or did you go over the crack? Like, everything you did is inside the crack, or did you spread it out over the top?
Well, when I went to use the trowel, some of it spread a little. So instead of it being a half inch to an inch, it's like an inch and a half sometimes. So it doesn't look like you did it. It looks like I did it.
All right, get a metal wire brush on the end of your drill.
Okay.
And I want you to go along that crack and try and get all that off of there. Okay?
Okay.
Then if you can, so in that crack, go down a little bit. Don't go with the wire brush in the crack, but don't take all of this out, but just give me a little, like a quarter inch of depression down the crack. Okay?
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Then I want you to go find a product called Tintcrete.
What's it called? Tintcrete?
T-I-N-T.
Oh, tint. Yes,
Tintcrete. You can go to, and they make it for old concrete and new concrete.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Painter's tape along each side of the crack. Take your time to do that along each side of the crack and follow it. So you got an inch or two on both sides. Trowel this in, the old concrete finish.
Got it.
Remove the tape. Tell your family to keep their opinions to themselves.
Good morning. You've got your radio tuned in to Lou Manfredini. Now back to your host right here on House Smarts Radio.
I don't need a whole lot of money. I don't need a big fine car. I got everything that a man could want. I got more than I
Welcome back.
Afford.
Hey, Don Kleppen. Kill your mic on your Hangouts for me. Kill the mic on your video feed there. This hour of House Smarts Radio is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Dykstra Home Services. 877-213-4-LOU.
Hey, wait, Lou.
Yeah?
This is Some Kind of Wonderful.
It is?
Got wonderful news.
Oh, tell me.
Well, I think that you're clued in, and as humble as you are,
oh boy.
And I am going to take this moment to raise a glass.
Oh, is that why
everybody's got a glass?
Oh, I see. Why. Oh, I see. See, I didn't know any of this.
This has been a big, this has been a crazy year, but also a great year. We've got to look on the bright side of all of this. Your 25th
wow.
year.
Wait
your 25th
a minute.
Year on the air.
Wow.
You are, you're back for more coming up in 2020. So that's going to start the year off well. Your contract has been extended, and I am so honored to. You don't get here overnight. We are all so honored to work with you, and I just wanted to congratulate you and
That's
tell you
nice.
How much we love you.
Thank you very much.
Look,
That's
I've got my whiskey
nice.
Acres here. You
wow.
like how I tied that in? I don't even
like,
drink whiskey, but I'm going with
but
it.
But you're
today.
Going to, and Don's got a. Don has a Bloody Mary right
yes.
there.
Yes, sir. That's right. Courtesy of Mr. Brand. Made
wow.
this professionally.
I love that. Yeah, and I have a little Bloody Mary here too with a little beer chaser.
Got
so
it.
Here, salute. Thank you, everybody.
Cheers,
I
Lou.
So appreciate it.
Bert's here, and Joe is here too. Ferguson's got
oh,
his.
Oh, very nice. Our Foley
well.
Artist, Don Kleppen. Thank you very much.
No
very
problem.
Nice.
Yes. So, congratulations. We love you. Are
Cheers.
Just a joy to work with.
Yeah, indeed. I guess if people haven't heard, maybe you know, I've been fortunate enough to obviously be here 25 years, which is amazing. Ooh, that's a good Bloody Mary. I was fortunate enough to sign a new deal with WGN, so you're going to be stuck with me for another 4 years, and I'm super happy about that. I really do enjoy doing this show. It is such a... I could have never imagined that something would... you know, it did start with me writing a bunch of letters to radio stations 25 years ago with this idea. Fortunate enough to be a guest on Bob Collins' show, and then... One of the things that didn't get talked about was the fact that I was mentored by Roy Leonard. I was mentored by Lyle Dean as a young kid, and it was really, really kind of a spectacular thing. I didn't even know what I was doing back then, and these folks took me under my wing. A bunch of engineers that worked at the radio station were also very kind to me and gave me a bunch of help along the way. You hear us talk about Bob Ferguson. You don't hear Bob Ferguson on the air, but he is such an important part of this show and making it all happen. And he's dedicated to, you know, quality broadcasts. And when he hears something he doesn't like, he shares that and makes sure that we're doing and trying to deliver the best product that we can. And I am also very fortunate to have a producer who not only, you know, is just super talented, but we have developed a relationship over the 10 plus years that we've worked with that is, you know, gone beyond that of just a working relationship. She cares a lot about what we put out there. She keeps me focused, keeps me on time, pushes me to try and come up with new ideas that are different to try and get different audiences. And so I really do so appreciate that. And then to work with Don and Joe Brand, to have you guys on Saturday mornings, it's really a lot of fun. So the biggest
you
thanks,
make it easy, Lee,
thank you.
Lou.
The biggest
oh,
thanks
yeah.
goes
Absolutely.
To you, the listeners. And I say this all the time when we do live broadcasts. This radio station has a long legacy of fine listeners. And I have said this forever. This is your station, not ours. And so we're just keeping the seats warm, you know, in our different shifts. And so you've always had very strong opinions, good and bad, when it comes to the station. And so I try to always be on the good side. So I'm sure that sometimes I'm not, but I so appreciate it, you sticking with us all these years. So looking forward to...
Four more years of Lou.
Four more years. Four more years. Heck yeah, man.
We love you.
Thank you very much. I love all of you as well. Thank you. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's do this. We'll take a. How about we take a quick break, and then we'll get to your calls right after this.
WGN.
Now back to Lou, taking your calls live right now on House Smarts Radio.
You get a line and I'll get a pole, honey. You get a line and I'll get a pole, babe.
Welcome back. 877-213-4-LOU. Let's talk with Ann. Hi, Ann. Good morning. You're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Ann. Ann? Hello, Ann? I hear you, Ann. She's walking around. Ann, are you there? Hello, Ann? Right here, Ann? Here, walking around? I do. All right, Ann, we're going to just park you right there, Ann, and we'll see what happens here. Let's talk with, how about Kathy?
Yeah.
Hi, Kathy. Luke. Good morning.
Good morning.
How may I help you?
I'm calling, I'm calling about, I live in the house is a Georgian house built in 1943. It's all brick. And I have one fireplace in the living room. And I had it inspected last January. And the total bill was $6,059 to have it relined. A gas tight, like stainless steel liner. Well, I haven't done it because it just seems so expensive. And is it really necessary?
Well, do you use the fireplace?
Of course.
And does it, are you getting...
It works fine.
It works fine. You're getting smoke in the house when you make a fire?
No.
Do you...
It's like, yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You said you had it inspected. Do you have it cleaned and inspected, or they cleaned it and they said, yeah, you need to rebuild it?
They cleaned it, and then they put a, what do I want to say?
Camera?
A pole up the chimney with a camera.
Right.
And he said that it's the motor inside the chimney.
The mortar, right.
Yes, is breaking, and you know, you're missing some.
Okay.
The house is, like I said, from the 1943s. We're the third owner. We do use the fireplace a lot in the winter only. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe once a week, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing. It isn't, I mean, so rebuilding the chimney, more than likely in a 1943 Georgian, you've got a clay sleeve that's going up through there with those mortar joints. And if you're getting decent drafting and stuff is not crumbling and falling into your fireplace, to the best of your knowledge, like you don't have chunks of things.
Right.
And you get it clean.
Right.
You get it in, cleaned annually. You're okay.
Okay.
You're okay.
All right.
You're
I love
okay.
that answer.
I know. But here's the thing. If all of a sudden you start to see chunks coming in, then we may have to think about rebuilding this thing. The reason that it's $6,000, what they end up doing is they drop typically a cable down from the roof, and they use this device. It almost looks like, remember in the medieval times, that knight that had that big ball with the spikes and the chain and the pole?
Yes.
They have something like that they use on the inside of the chimney to break up that clay. And then they put a liner in the middle of it. It's a lot of work. That $6,000, they're earning every dollar of it for what they're doing. But I think that if you just be diligent about getting it cleaned annually, since you use it once a week, that's important.
Okay.
And then let's just keep an eye on it.
All right. I like that answer.
I'm glad you do, and I appreciate you calling this morning. 877-213. Where's Ann at? What line? Line two? Okay, let's see if we can got her there. Hey, Ann, you're on House Smarts Radio. Hello, Ann?
Yes. Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Lou?
It is. How may I help you?
Oh, well, I appreciate you taking my call. Okay, so today is the first time I've heard you on the radio, I think. So I guess this was divine, whatever. Anyway, about 4 or 5 years ago, I received a call from the local water department telling me that the water heater was it's overflowing. No, she said my toilet. So we went to both bathrooms, and there was no water anywhere in the house at all. But I bought a shop vac anyway. And so just recently, the water tank did overflow. And I had the shop vac, and I set the old one outside by the trash can. And the next, within an hour or so, I happened to see this guy come and pick it up. And I didn't care. But then the next day, I heard on the radio that old water heaters were worth $200. Okay, so I lost $200. But anyway, the water has been turned off for a while. And I bought a new water heater, and four different people came to, and it still hasn't been installed. I gave the first one a young man, you know, $20-some that I had, but it's still not installed. The last person told me that he needed to bore a hole in the wall, and there has never been a hole in the wall where the water heater is. So I'm calling you to find out, how can I get my water heater? And does there need to be a hole in the wall when there never has been in all these 15, 16 years that I've been here?
Okay. I'm trying to follow.
So I know I need a plumber. Once somebody told me I needed a plumber.
Right. Okay. So,
but, I don't know what I need.
Ann, what part of town are you calling from?
South suburban Chicago.
Okay. So, you said that somebody called you about the toilet running. You mean this, the city or the village called?
That was the water department. That was from the water department.
Right, but how did they know that? They were monitoring your water meter?
I have no idea. That's what I don't know. Because it wasn't happening. There was no water overflowing.
Okay, and so then you had the water heater.
Oh, I can't hear you. What are you saying?
You had the water heater removed?
Oh, I can barely hear you. What did you say about the water heater?
You had the water heater removed?
Okay. I can't hear you.
Okay.
I hear the music in the background, but I can't hear. You say the water heater.
Right. Hold on 1 second. We're going to figure that. We just got a bad, Lindsay, we got a bad phone line here. So let's see. I'm going to park Ann here, and then we'll maybe take her off the air. I'm having a hard time following her question, so maybe when we go to break, we'll talk to her off the air so I can get more information. 877-213-4LOU, 877-213-4568. Let's talk with to Lynn, who is in Woodstock. Hey, Lynn, good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
So I wanted to paint my interior doors black because everybody's doing it, and I prepared the doors, and it was when we had that nice weather in beginning of September, so the temperature was right. I prepped the doors, washed them, and I sanded them, and when I painted them, when the paint dried, it turned orange peely. So I went back to an unnamed paint store. They gave me a refund for the paint and told me that I needed to sand them. So when I sanded the door, it was almost like the paint was rubbery. And then they told me that I need to strip the door, but they're just cheap builder-grade doors that are hollow. I think I've ruined them.
Okay, hold on a second.
Can I salvage them?
These are interior doors.
Interior doors.
And you're painting them where? Hanging on the walls?
No, I took them down. No, I took them down and I put them on horses. In
okay.
the garage.
Okay. And then what kind of...
And they've been cured. I can tell you. It's... they said I could use it for my exterior door as well as my interior door.
Right.
It is resilient, exceptional moisture resistance, interior, exterior acrylic latex.
Okay. And these doors were these doors stained wood or what were, what were they? What was the finish on these doors before
it's just builder's grade. So whatever they put it on it, it wasn't overly shiny. It's just whatever they spray it with when they put them up.
And you didn't
because they're only about 10 years old.
You did not sand those doors.
I roughed them up.
Yeah.
When I asked the store about it, she said that I did not need to use Kills because that was my first thing. I should have gone with my gut. And then to use a 3/8 or half-inch nap, which is what I did, come to find out, they said, well, you should have used a roller, like a foam roller.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that the issue here is more about prep work than anything. I think I'd go back and sand it, and then I would prime it. And then I would try and put that finish. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that paint directly, but I would sand it all down, use a random orbit sander to get it as smooth as possible, hit it with a primer with a roller, and then roll that paint over that when the primer is done. That's your best bet. I'm just running out of time here. Thanks so much for the phone call. We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back after news.
What is a really amazing thing is modern plumbing.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
I'm sitting on the couch, and Max had some friends over, and we have a powder room on the first floor, and this young man like, oh, Mr. Manfredini, where's your bathroom? Well, it's right through the door there.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
The young man goes in there, and so then I start thinking about modern plumbing.
He's always thinking.
And I'm thinking to myself, we really take modern plumbing for granted.
Outside the Lou.
This kid probably really regretted asking.
No. I
do you have any idea how lucky you are?
Yeah.
And you, too, are the lucky ones, because he's taking your calls right here, right
modern
now.
Modern plumbing is something to marvel at.
Now back to Lou.
You walk into a bathroom right now, and it doesn't smell.
I do.
Right.
I do.
Right here on House Smarts Radio.
You two are amazing. 877-213-4-LOU. 877-213-4568. I spoke to that lady Ann off the air, and we hooked her up with some plumbers that she can use. I just wanted to make sure that we finished that off the right way. But I don't want to hear about people getting taken advantage of. It bums me out.
Right?
Where that people, you know, the thing is that I want to be, you know, we joke about this a little bit. Oh, you're big brother in the business, but if it doesn't sound right, I want you to call me and tell me, because don't do it. Just makes me so angry that kind of stuff happens. And so please, you know, if you got friends or whatever, call me. I'll give you my 2 cents, and at least you can make an informed decision. 877-213-4-LOU, 877-213-4568. This is Dan calling in, who's on Mercer Island. Dan, good morning.
Hello, Lou.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm a long-time listener, so the last time you gave me advice was when you were at Wanamaker's, and I was asking you about my siding and mold or mildew, I guess, and you recommended wet and forget. I was very skeptical, but it worked great.
That's awesome. How may I help you this morning?
All right, so I have a tankless hot water heater, and the house is plumbed so that the hot water continuously circulates. So you don't have to wait for the tank to heat up and all that stuff. I was wondering, what kind of maintenance do you do on this type of hot water heater? You know, on the regular one, you kind of drain it off periodically. But what do you do for this type of heater?
You said that you have a circulating pump that keeps it circulating?
Yes. It's so that way, you know, the hot water is there within seconds for each faucet in the house.
How long have you had this tankless system?
Well, we bought the house in a year ago, so I don't know how long it's been installed. I guess I'd have to look.
Is it gas or electric?
It's electric.
Okay, and the reason I ask all this is that the thing is that on-demand water heaters, you know, they have a higher BTU rating than regular tank units. And so when they're operating, they use more energy to heat the water, obviously, because it's instantaneous. And when you use a circulating pump on them, you sort of diminish the energy savings of it because the system is running more to keep the water hot. Does that make sense?
So, sure.
Sure.
You know, like in the sense of a gas unit, you know, where a tanked water heater probably operates at, you know, anywhere from 40,000 to 60,000 BTUs. An on-demand gas unit is probably 100,000. And so,
wow.
But my point is, are you noticing that your bill is high or anything like that?
The gas and electric are combined as one bill. And no, it's because the weather here is very mild,
sure,
compared to streams of Chicago.
No, right. But your the waters, that it really doesn't have much to do with the weather. But okay, so here's the thing: as far as maintenance goes, there's a heat exchanger inside that water heater. I mean, if you can imagine, it's basically a boiler. Okay. And depending on the brand that you have, you know, there's a good chance that it's a copper heat exchanger. And so with most installations now, and I don't know if this is the case with yours, but where you have the inlet of the domestic water coming in and then the other line coming out where the now is the hot water, there may be two valves there with like hose connections on it.
Okay.
That's typical on the installation now, because it's a good idea to flush that system out on an annual basis. And okay. What you will do is that these valves are like two-way valves, so you shut off intake, but now the hose connection is there, and then the other hose connection is there, and then you circulate. You create flow, and you circulate something like even CLR to go through there to cut down on the calcium, lime, and rust. And a plumber will come in and do that circulation and that flushing of the tank. Then you turn the valve the other way, and you're back in business. Now, if those valves don't exist, then it might be something that you may want to consider.
Okay. All right. I'll have to look at it.
Take a look and see, but that's the way to go. Now, remind me, Mercer Island, just outside of Seattle, is that part of the San Juan Islands?
No. It's only about 15 minutes out of Seattle. It's on, actually, I-90 goes through the island.
Beautiful. And
yeah, it is. So we lived in Chicago all our lives. Our two sons moved out here, and so we decided to move a year ago.
That's
but
awesome.
We still listen to you.
That's awesome. God bless you. That's great. I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving, and you and your family stay safe.
Thank you very much, Lou. Enjoy your Thanksgiving as well.
Thanks so much. That's so cool. Lindsay, have you ever been to Seattle?
I have not. It's on my list.
Seattle's cool. It's very cool. The San Juan Islands are the coolest. I've told that story where I had to go do a thing for Ace once, and I flew in a float plane, and we were in there, and we had to land in the water, and we're flying like 1,000 feet over the air, and the pilot is like looking out, and then she lands the plane and literally comes up to the dock. Like, she stands, there's no one there to greet her. She's standing on the pontoon, and she's just grabbing it like it's a fishing boat that you're docking. And I said, how do you know when to land? Like, how do you know when to land? She goes, well, I just look to make sure there's no one in the way. Pretty good. Let's talk to, I'm just looking, line one would be, that's who I wanted to talk to, Patty, who's in St. Charles. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Lou. Good morning. Congratulations on your new contract. And I feel really lucky, too, because I've got you on speed dial.
So. Oh, you're so kind. Thank you very much. I'm super happy.
Happy to know you're going to be around for another 4 years. So as we speak, my hardwood floors are being refinished, and they're here putting some sample stains down right now. And they're wanting to know if I want a water-based finish or a Swedish based finish. I've done a little bit of reading, but now I need to ask the expert.
Well,
You
want to use water base. We just refinished the floors in our house too, and the stress that picking the colors caused my wife was amazing. Right? Right? You're going crazy, aren't you?
I'm going crazy.
I know.
And Mr. Patty is not so happy with me because
he's getting this done.
Okay, here's the thing, okay? When you make that choice, it's very difficult to make the color choice in a small sample, but when the floor is all done, whatever you choose, I promise you're going to like it, okay? There's a trend right now where you use a little brown and a little gray. They can mix colors together, right? And so, you know, depending on what colors they're using, like what we did a blend of one part bark and one part gray, okay? And they mix that together, and it looks fabulous. And we used a water-based satin finish. The Swedish finish, okay. Here's the problem with the Swedish, in my opinion. It's a terrific product, but they have to shut, like, the furnace down, and the guys have to wear a respirator, you know, because it's so, it's such a harsh chemical. This is not the 1940s, and Glenn Miller is not going to play, and you're going to have people dancing on the floor, okay? So the waterborne.
Yeah, we're empty now. None of that anymore.
Right. The waterborne finishes. Okay. So the waterborne satin finish is going to look great. When you pick a color, you're going to love it. I promise you it's going to look great. And you just got to have a little faith and trust in that they're going to do a nice job and it'll look great.
You're the best. And when we're done, we're going to take our $50 gift card that we just won from Whiskey Acres and go have an old fashioned and celebrate.
I love it. That's awesome. Thank you so much for calling. It is 51 past the hour. We'll take a quick break and be back after this. All right. 2020 marks 25 years here at WGN Radio. I started back in 1995 as a guest over on the Bob Collins Show. And in honor of that anniversary, we're giving you a chance to win some of my favorite things. Each week, we're going to feature a different product or service that can Well, that you can win. Congratulations to Donna Locirico of Aurora, who's the winner, subject to eligibility, of last week's prize, a Traeger Pro 575 wood pellet grill. This week's prize, the Ego Power Plus snowblower with push-button start and two lithium batteries. It's the industry's first cordless snowblower with the power and performance of gas to clear heavy, wet snow, but without all the noise, fuss, and fumes. The Ego Power Plus snowblower is available at your local Ace Hardware store. To enter, visit WGNradio.com/contest. That's WGNradio.com/contest. This contest ends tomorrow, Sunday, at 11:59 p.m., so get your entry in today. Sponsored by Ego Power Beyond Belief, available at your local Ace Hardware, Ace, the helpful place. And stay tuned next week when we announce the winner and next week's favorite thing. 877-213-4LOU is our phone number. I guess we have time for just one more call. This is Martha, who's in Woodstock. Hi, Martha.
No, it's here.
Left it right on the counter. Before.
Hello?
Martha, it's right on the counter.
Oh, hello.
Did you find it, Martha? It's on the counter. Martha?
Oh, no, I was calling about the wet and forget.
Yes, ma'am. This is Lou Manfredini. How are you, Martha? We were just listening We were just listening to your conversation. I was just having a little fun with you. How are you today?
Okay. Well, my husband used the wet and forget on the north side of our house on cedar siding, and he hosed it later, but it didn't clean the mildew off.
Okay. Well,
I'm wondering, maybe what should have been done or
so,
what.
So with the wet and forget, you don't hose it off. So you spray it on, and you leave it there. So if he sprayed it on and then hosed it off, that's not how the product works. So on that north side, if you ask him, even today would be a good day, spray it one more time and then walk away. And then call me in April and tell me how nice the north side of your house looks.
Okay.
All right.
I'll tell him.
Tell him that.
All right. And then I have a question myself about our kitchen floor vinyl. It's been down, I'd say, at least 10 years. And it was really good vinyl when we bought it at the time. And in front of the sink and the stove and the counter where you stand more than other places, it has some yellowing. What can I use to get it out?
Do you know if this is a sheet vinyl or a tile?
Sheet.
Okay. Well, that's going to be a little tough to do, but what you can try is using a cleaner like OxyClean, a powder with warm water.
Oh, I have some.
All right. And a scrub brush. Scrub it on there. Mm-hmm. Let it sit there for 10 minutes. Scrub it again. That's the best you're going to get, and probably what you should do in front of that sink because of all the water and standing there is have some sort of like stress mat or something when you're standing there. It'll be good on your feet, and it'll protect the rest of the floor as well.
Okay. It's probably too late for that. But.
Well, I mean, try the cleaner first, and then you can try the mat as well. By the way, I'm going to send you out a House Smarts radio hat sponsored by Cobblestone Remodeling, Chicagoland's premier design build company for kitchens, baths, additions, siding, and windows. Maybe you're working remotely, don't have enough room. Let Cobblestone Remodeling create the ideal workspace in your home. Visit cobblestoneremodeling.com. Or call 773-661-0606. Hey, I'm going another hour on the West Coast, so this number, if you'd like to call and be part of that show, I'm happy to answer your calls, however, for another hour if you need it. 877-2134-LOU is that phone number. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Don Kleppen, Joe Brand, Lindsay Smithwood, Bob Ferguson for the toast today. That was very nice. And I hope you all have a safe Thanksgiving. Stay positive, everybody. We're going to get through this together and help each other out. So happy Thanksgiving. Be well. And we'll be back next week with more House Smarts Radio.